Okay, open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. And we're going to talk about the unpardonable sin. Matthew 12, verse 31 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." That's the one sin that can't be forgiven. One of the most frustrating things, and there are some people that just will fight you to the bitter end. They swear that suicide is the unpardonable sin. And that is just not true. That is not true. Now, they're just not understanding that we have a God of mercy. There are some people that get so tormented. You know, sometimes they have such severe trauma, severe pain, PTSD. There's a lot of things that will cause a man to cause himself to do suicide. They can't find any relief anywhere else. And they decided to find relief in a different way. And religion says that that's an unforgivable sin, and that's just not. It just said right there, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Okay, see, the devil, he brings guilt and condemnation. And a Christian cannot commit the unpardonable sin. A Christian cannot commit the unpardonable sin. You'll find out what I'm talking about here in a little bit. There's no sin that a Christian is not forgiven of. Look at John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now, when you understand this part of it, the unpardonable sin is to consistently reject Jesus. There are people that absolutely will not turn their life over to Jesus. There is nothing God can do for them at that point. If they leave this earth before they get born again, there's nothing he can do. That he can't forgive that. We have to make sure we have our ducks in a row before we change addresses. See, you're not going to die. You got this. We'll get that through your head. You're not going to die if you get born again. You're not going to die if you don't get born again. Your spirit is going to be alive. It's going to be somewhere else. It's not going to be on this earth. It's not going to be in your suit. It's going to change addresses. You got to make sure you got the right address before you take off. And let's see, this is where the separation happens. Those people that take off before they get born again are going to have to make an accounting of themselves at the great white throne judgment. See, this is where God is going to have the book open. And if their name is blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, he has nothing he can do but put them in the lake of fire. It was not designed for men. The lake of fire was not designed for men. Not at all. He would that all men be saved. And in fact, at this very moment, do you know that there are people that aren't born again and their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yeah. God is a God of faith. And he's believing for everybody to get born again. He wants everybody to be born again. The Bible tells us he would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We used to run around at these rodeos and prisons and stuff and tell everybody, say, you need to get born again so you can get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, you do need to get born again so your name doesn't get blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the way we should have been saying it. But, you know, we pick up on religious traditions and we run with them because they sound cool. But God is a God of faith. And he's got the doors open for everybody. And they have to choose. See, this is the thing about God. He gives us a free will. He gives us free choice. We can choose yea or nay. In fact, he told us that I put before you this day life and death. Choose life! Choose life! But there are people that will not make that choice. And there's nothing God can do about that. He can't forgive that. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. And then this is where one of the things, you know, there are people saying, well, why would God send people to hell? He doesn't. He doesn't. They have a free choice. And they have to choose while they're on this earth if they want heaven or hell. Now, one of the dangerous things we used to run around saying, get born again so you can live forever with Christ. Well, that's true, but it leaves this idea that maybe you're just going to be in limbo if you don't get born again. There's no limbo. Get born again so you can live forever with Christ. Don't get born again. You're going to live forever separated eternally from the Father with no repentance, no way to get out. Did you know that there are no unbelievers in hell? There are no unbelievers in hell. And in fact, some of the accounts, I've read some accounts of some of the biggest, most prominent atheists that they had, you know, people that for 50, 60, 70, 80 years denied Christ. And when they were on their deathbed, they said, oh my God, what have I done? See, your spirit knows the difference before you leave. But your soul has made choices that have caused your spirit to be in bondage. But see, there, one of the big ideas is that I hear even preachers, local preachers even say this, that everybody, we're all children of God. And they're talking about Muslims and all these other people, and this, we're all children of God. No! No, you're not. You don't get to be a child of God until you get born again. See, you got to be adopted into the family before you can be his child. But they don't understand that. They don't understand being born again. This is important for people to understand. And if you're not a child of God, whose child are you? You're a child of Satan. Even Jesus said that to the Jews. You do as your father did, the father of lies, Satan. He told the Jewish people, you're the spawn of Satan. Jesus said that. Because they needed to repent. They needed to repent and be baptized. You know, that's what Peter said. You know, when Peter come out of the upper room and they said, what do we need to do? And he said, you need to repent and be baptized. So, some people have made a whole denomination out of that. Said you can't be born again until you get water baptized. So you got to be standing in the water and do this forgiveness of sins nonsense. And that's not what it's talking about. He said, literally, change your mind about God and go get baptized. See, they already had a covenant with God. They just needed to change their mind. It's like Paul did. Say, oh, you're Lord. Amen? Matthew chapter 3, verse 22. No man putteth new wine. Oh, wait a minute. Chapter 3, verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in a parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? See, I had this conversation the other day. They actually had a video of somebody getting delivered, and somebody said, oh, that's exorcism. That's nonsense. All they did was just cause more psychological grief. And I said, no. No. I said, you can cast out devils. Not unless you're a priest. They said, no, believers can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. I said, I've done it. And no, all you did was cause more emotional grief. I said, no. The guy walked in total freedom. It was the grace of God. It was maybe one of the most... It was probably one of the most dramatic things I ever seen. But I prayed for this guy, I cast the devil out of him. And people had worked with this guy for years. They had gave up on him. People all over town had given up on him. And I just prayed for him and cast this devil out of him. And he come up to me a couple weeks later and he said, man, I got it. He had gotten born again. We prayed and he got born again. And he said, man, this is working. Said, I figured out I can go to church 5 days a week. I said, where are you going? He said, at the Pentecostal church. I said, man, you latch onto that as hard as you can and don't look back. And some people got mad at me and said, why didn't you tell him to go to the Cowboy church? I said, he's in there 5 days a week. He's happy. He's happy. He's doing good. Leave him alone. And so he stayed in there. And I didn't see him for a couple of years. We moved to Texas. And then my wife and I moved back up there and we went to this big yard sale. And this brand new blue Mustang, brand spanking new Mustang, come pulling up behind me. And I look back and I said, well, I don't know anybody that drives a hot car like that. And I keep walking down the sidewalk and I heard somebody holler my name and I turned around and it was that little guy at the gas station. I said, what are you doing? He said, I just seen you. I wanted to thank you. He said, you helped me get back to Jesus. He said, I paid cash for this car. Oh, jeez. You're really doing good. And he was staying connected to Jesus. Jesus sets people free. Now, that little guy had some serious demonic activity going on in his life. And there's people like that that commit suicide all the time. Now, some of them get fortunate enough to run into somebody, they'll tell them about Jesus, and they get set free, and they go on and they get that relief like he did. Some of them don't. And they don't know, there's nothing they can do. They can't get out of the rat trap. They just keep going, and things keep getting worse and worse and worse for them. And finally they decided it's hopeless. They can't win, and they end it. Some of them are even born again. You know, I've seen some born-again people that have been so religiously whipped that they will not set foot in a church again. I've seen some born-again people that had PTSD so bad that they couldn't make it through a night. And it just ruined their lives. And some of them end up committing suicide. But we have a merciful God that received them. They didn't win in life the way he wanted them to, but he's not going to let them go to hell. Because they received Jesus. They just didn't get their mind renewed to the Word of God the way they needed to. Some of them need deliverance. Some of them need set free. Sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't. But you must understand who Jesus was talking to in all this. See, a believer has already received the gift of eternal life and will never be subject to eternal condemnation. See, we have to rightfully divide the word of truth. See, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils cast out he devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan?" See, people need to pay attention to this. Satan's not going to kick himself out. He's not. So when somebody gets set free, it's got to be by the name of Jesus. And it's only by the name of Jesus that people can get set free. Praise God. And one thing I learned is these prayers of deliverance can be a handful of words. You don't have to scream and shout. You don't have to have a 35-minute prayer session with somebody. They can literally set them free in just a few words. Once I figured that out, once I got all the religious nonsense out of the way and figured that out, it got a whole lot simpler. Amen. And it's always the name of Jesus. It's always the name of Jesus. The devil, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. You know, you just find people. You just find people. You know, I found one in a gas station, found one in the bar ditch going down Cemetery Road. I thought something happened. There's somebody down. I thought, oh my gosh, what? So I pulled over and I ran up to him and I said, "You all right?" And he just started shaking. I said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here." And he looked up at me. He stood up, and I said, "You all right?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay now." And he walked away, and I ran into him a couple weeks later at the dollar store, and he said, "You know something, I used to have those attacks all the time, and I haven't had one since." I said, "You need to get born again right now." So he got born again, and he's still not having attacks. Just a few words. But it's always the name of Jesus. It's always Jesus that sets people free. We have to rightfully divide the word of truth. We have to understand that before the cross, what was said before the cross, what was said after the cross. See, the cross made all the difference. So what about doing everything Jesus said? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. And if that right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into the fire. See, that was people under the law. Now, who would ever think of gouging their eye out? See, the devil will get into people's minds and twist them into thinking that this is right. And Glenn told me a story about a lady that had a baby, and she had decided that she was supposed to receive the cloak of this pastor that she was so hung up on and get his anointing. And anyway, she took off with this baby, and she started fasting. She was fasting, and they were hunting for this woman and her child, a husband, and everybody was frantic trying to find her. They finally found her, and they had her in the hospital. She had gouged her eye out. And they said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I had lust in my eye." And Glenn said, "In the name of Jesus, you come out of here." And that demon picked her up like 6 foot off of the table. And he said, "You put her down gently. Nothing shall by any means hurt her." She came down free. But see what happens when we don't rightfully divide the word of truth? See what was going on there? See, these people had taken the law and they had brought it down to such a low level that they thought they could keep it. When Jesus got here and they started quizzing him, he raised the law back up to the high standard of righteousness that God set it at, to show them that they couldn't keep it. He said, "Yeah, you weren't sleeping around, but you're still looking at them." But that was the law. See, he called these people a brood of vipers. He called the Pharisees that. He didn't call sinners that. He didn't call Gentiles that. He called the religious mafia of the day, he called them a brood of vipers. He said, "You guys will go to the end of the earth to get one proselyte. You'll bring him in, and then you'll weight him down with rules that you can't even keep." Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 8 says, "For finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Nor this, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be with them, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach other, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That is the main clause of the whole new covenant. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. He has forgiven us. Now, if we don't receive Jesus, there's nothing he can do about that. We must be born again. Even Jesus said that. He told that to the religious people, said, a man must be born again. It doesn't matter how long you go to church, it doesn't matter what you do, you can go to Bible school for 20 years. And if you don't get born again, none of it matters. It's not going to get you anywhere but hell. A man must be born again. Because Jesus said that no man cometh to the Father except through the Son. The way to get through that is to be born again. Receive Jesus as your Lord. Amen? Every sin has been incinerated by the blood of Jesus. And did you notice I didn't use my glasses all? Normally, my eyes are getting better. My eyes are getting better, praise God. I would even have to use them in the morning, on Sunday morning. But then I've been getting where I didn't have to use them on Sunday morning, but I'd have to use them on Wednesday night because my eyes would be tired. But now, all of a sudden, I made it all the way through without using my glasses. God is good. God is good. When we lean on His grace, when we lean into Him, He's good. He'll see that as faith when we see Him in His grace. And there's no amount of good works that you could do to receive anything. You can only receive it. He's freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Amen? So just know this. There's only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that's the rejection of Christ Jesus. See, this will help some people if they'll receive it. And some people that are afraid maybe their loved one, because they committed suicide, is in hell. If they're born again, they're in heaven. They got relief. They didn't get the victory the way God wanted them to. They didn't get whatever He was trying to get to them. They didn't receive that. But He's not a merciless God. There are people sometimes that hurt so bad, you know, some cancer situations, they don't want to go through it. And they just end it. You know. I've seen several where they went pretty fast. And I've seen my wife's friend where they took her off life support and she lived for 2 weeks. Basically laid on that table and starved to death. For 2 weeks. Yeah, I can understand why somebody wouldn't want to go through that. God can understand that too. It's not His best. It's not His best for us. But if you have a child that committed suicide, would you say, well, you just sent yourself to hell. Would you do that? No. Also, there's no purgatory, so don't waste your time sitting in the cemetery praying for somebody to get out of purgatory. They either get their address settled while they're on this earth, or it's all over. If they accept Jesus, they're in. If they don't, there's nothing, not even God can do anything about that. And for crying out loud, don't let anybody sucker you into paying them money to pray a special prayer to get them out of purgatory. That happens. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for guiding us and teaching us. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. Take care of us. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.